We're on. Okay. Welcome. We're back in our study of Romans, and having gone through VBS through the month of June, and just that was extremely well done. Thank you for everyone that helped in that. I know this is like late July, but still, we appreciate that. Yesterday, many of you aren't part of our ShareHouse ministry. It's a food and clothing ministry that we have up in Nunn. And Ivana, I'm going to move you. Because if I don't look at Justice, he's just going to be heartbroken. So. But I don't know, we had probably 44, we had 40 show up yesterday. Wow. It didn't feel like that many, but praise God. But we feed, yesterday you fed up there 35 families. That was on Friday, that was on Saturday. Plus then what on Thursday? 14. So we've had 49 families this week. And it just continues to grow. And I think that's a sign of the economy, where people are at. People are struggling with finances, all of those things. But praise God that, one, that we have those resources that we can get from private donors, but mainly through the World Food Bank for food and clothing. But we had a fabulous time yesterday. Some of the testimonies, stories that were given. If you haven't been to the Share House, or if you have not seen it, or if you want to volunteer, come talk to me, talk to Josh, talk to Nelson and Stacy, the directors. And Nelson's elbowing his wife. So, if counseling is needed later, talk to Josh, okay? Don't come talk to me. But it's amazing, the stories that we've heard. And there's a tremendous prayer ministry that happens there on Thursday evenings. Those ladies, and with Ivan and Nelson and Dave, it's just phenomenal. But we had a great time yesterday, a great lunch. So continue to pray for that ministry. Continue to pray for many of the people that come through there are the poorest of the poor, or homeless. 2 weeks ago when I was up there, I think I may have said this already, but there was a gentleman about my age, but he had just come to the Share House for the first time, and nicely dressed, his cowboy hat on, and he said, "How does this work?" And Julia, who was with me that day, she gave him a form to fill out for his address and his personal information, because the World Food Bank wants us to keep that, even though it doesn't go anywhere. None of that information goes to the internet or doesn't go to anybody. It's just for tracking of people that we are serving and the pounds of food that we're putting out. And as he filled it out, and he came to address, and he said, "Homeless." And we got to talking to him, and there were some severe family issues happening there, and because of that, he lost his home. And now he's on the street for the first time in his life. And here's a 70-year-old plus guy that's not sure what he's gonna do. And that's just one of many that we see there. So be in prayer for them. And as God uses us, and that ministry is growing, as we know. And we started at, I think, 50 boxes at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and that's coming up here sooner than we think. Last year, we had 75 boxes that we put out for those two holidays each. This year, I don't know. We may need to target 100. It's just, that's the state of where people are at. And I think many of you know that. But those are our neighbors in northern Colorado. But anyway, praise God for his glory and what he does. So as we continue in Revelation, you're in yellow, I'm in Revelation. The wheels are coming off. And we're both fired. Man, this is a tough crowd. Better get our act together. But in Romans chapter 12, and Josh preached on verses 1 and 2 last week, and Paul is really relying on his authority in Scripture, who God has charged him to be from that moment leaving Jerusalem on his way to Damascus and where Paul's life has gone over the years since that time and how God is directing him. And in those two verses, he's urging all Christians to present ourselves to God as a living and holy sacrifice. God, through Paul, is speaking to the body for the pursuit of personal application and service, which applies to all of us. And the first 8 chapters of Romans really dealt with the gospel of Christ as it related to the Jewish nation. And yes, the Gentiles were part of that message. But then 9 through 11 dealt with more of bringing the Gentiles in. And now we're into the personal application of all of this text that Paul has explained in the previous 11 chapters. What do you do with it? What do we do with it? Yeah, it's nice to read your Bible and set it home and in the comfort of your house and commune with God and have that fellowship. But when you walk out the door, then what? Whether it's a share house ministry or whether God has gifted you in the area of teaching or maybe finance, or maybe it's counseling or exhortation or spreading the gospel, being an evangelist. Whatever your gift, and we're really going to talk about gifts, and that's the main part of this message. Whatever that gift is, how are you using it? Are you using it? Or are we content to just stay at home and in our shelter and stay there? There's a cartoon I ran across as I was putting this message together. You may not be able to read it, but as Paul is going to start in verse 3, he's talking about to think more rightly, more soundly in our mind. And Wiley, he's like, "Yes, I finally got it done." And his wife says, "Got what done, dear?" He says, "My memoir, 27 chapters of dishing on everyone who's ticked me off. Sweet retribution." And she's like, "Who'd want to read that?" So the third blank is, he's like, "Uh-oh, what am I doing now?" Chapter 28, to be continued. So obviously he's not thinking soundly. He's a legend in his own mind. And many of us, maybe not us, but there are many out there that think in those terms. And you know people that do think in those terms. And that's not to say that goals are not important and that we shouldn't be striving to be the best at whatever God has called us to be. And I'm thinking of, and I meant to look up the movie, but about NASA, when they were forming the Mercury Redstone project, and the lady that they brought in for the very first time to do the math calculations, if you've seen that movie, Hidden Figures, yes, Thank you. And she's phenomenal. How God has gifted her and the other ladies with her and what they enabled that program to do. And here was an African-American woman growing up in Virginia, in that area, challenged with all of the social, racial things that are happening. And she's pushing, and the two ladies with her are pushing to be the best that they can be. And they did. So I'm not saying don't have that mindset that woe is me, I'm just going to sit here like a bump on a log and life's going to be great. Wrong. We need to push ourselves. But it also needs to be of the point that we're doing it of sound judgment, with realism, and trusting that God will guide us and direct us. And so let's look at our text. Romans 3 through 8 in chapter 12. So if you turn there, for through the grace, and it'll be on the screens as well, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. It's truth. It's holiness, it's righteousness. It is the breath of God, as we're told. Speak to us in our hearts. Speak to us in our minds. Challenge us this day with where we are. If we know Christ today, we each have been gifted with something, and some of us with more than one. How do we evaluate those gifts? One, we may not know what those gifts are. If we do, how are we using them for the glory of the kingdom and what is to come? Guide us as we go through this and instruct us as only you can. Just help me to be open to your leading. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So in that first verse, in verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Let's take that verse apart. Through the grace given. And I talked about at the start of this, Paul's journey to Damascus and how God intervened in his life up close and personal. And from that, after the 3 days in which he was blinded in Damascus, he went away to the backside of the desert and spent 3 years alone with Jesus Christ. You find that in other texts. You won't find that in the book of Acts. But that's where he developed his understanding of Christ's version. He knew the God, he knew the Old Testament because of who he is, because he is a Pharisee. But he didn't understand grace. And so as Christ has given him that, and now he's teaching it to the Roman church, even though he will never get there until he goes there in prison, but he's talking to the Roman church. For the grace given to me, I say, this is his authority coming through. One, don't think more highly of yourself. He's using the word hyperphroneo, to be overly proud, to have high thoughts, to be boastful, and instead to have sound judgment. So phroneo, it's a totally different word. To be of sound mind, exercising self-control, exercising caution, exercising forethought and thinking in terms of critical thinking in terms of what does the scripture passage speak to me about? What do I need to do? Was this an issue during Paul's life? And we know human nature, undoubtedly, yes. But if you look at Philippians 3, 5 through 6, this kind of gives you some idea. This is Paul speaking, kind of his legacy, his heritage. Philippians 3, 5 through 6. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. I did all of these things. I am all of these things. You aren't. So guess what? I have the right to stone you because you have not lived up to all of the Mosaic law. I can just see that thought process coming out of him as a young man. And as he's trying to drive his brethren within that, the Sanhedrin and the Pharisaic group, of holding the nation of Israel to a purity standard as they saw it, not as God saw it, but his pride is coming out. Think about Caiaphas, the night of all of the trials, as Christ came back from the Mount of Olives to go through all of those 7 or 8 trials that took place that night, which was a completely illegal event. And Caiaphas was driving those as high priest. Pride. Think, be of sound mind. What are we taught today? You can be anything. And that goes along with what I was talking about earlier. That's not to say goals and pushing yourself to be the best. That's a good thing. But it's when it goes to the extreme that it's a bad thing. There's a lot of pastors out there, and we've preached on this over the past 18 months. You can find those videos. Joel Osteen, Creflo Dollar, and you go down the list. And they're sitting there saying, they're literally saying this, I am God. Not that I represent God or I speak for God, I am God. And that is pure heresy. That is anathema. That we have churches doing that kind of thing. That they have fallen away from what the gospel teaches and are pursuing a social gospel that is completely erroneous. What do we see of Christ? How does he respond in his lifestyle? Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Jesus, it was in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Where do you want to be? Do you want to be of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, the zeal, pursuing righteousness? Or do you want to be humbled to the point of death, even if it means the cross? Excuse me. As we finish that verse, but to think and have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Do we have different measures of faith? What do you think? Do we all have the same amount of faith? No. There are those that we're all called to have the faith of a mustard seed, right? That if we pray, we could move the mountain. But yet, there are those that have the faith. Some of those ladies talked about it yesterday. That we have seen cancer cured in that group of people at the share house. We have seen homeless people come back and get a job and be reengaged after living 6 months through a very cold winter under a bridge in East Greeley. We've seen so many of those things. There are people that have that measure of faith that they could almost walk through a wall. And they're holding on to that. Trusting that God is going to do what God is going to do, what God can do. Several months ago when Linda had her car wreck up here north of Nunn and her husband was killed and she was badly injured. And her son come running in after church that day, and they are members of the share house. And he said, "Pray for my mother." And I'm like, "What happened?" And he explained. And he said, "You guys pray." And stuff happens. I've seen it. And he's struggling. I mean, he's a 50-year-old man with a lot of drug and alcohol addiction issues, a lot of other things. I probably shouldn't say that. But you know Dave. And we have witnessed to him and witnessed him. But as he comes running in here, "Would you pray for Mom?" Because I've seen God answer prayer out of this church. And we have too. And praise be to God for that. And I pray that there will be more as he finds us faithful. But do we have different measures of faith? Yes. How do we know? We see it. Some people have the faith to go do whatever. And you may feel challenged. You may feel afraid. "I can't do that." But Marvin can, or Gary can, or Gene, or Josh, or whomever, or Shay, or Twyla. We all have different levels of faith. Even though we are all called to have faith in Christ, there are certain things that are just foundational to a Christian. When you receive Christ as your Savior, it takes faith to make that choice. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We know that. It takes that faith to take that initial step. But once you do, and the Holy Spirit comes and resides within you, you have now been gifted with something. And there's a whole list. And Scripture has a number of those things listed throughout Romans and 1 Corinthians and other books. And I don't think that list is exhaustive. But in that list, we've all been given at least one. Some of you, two or three. And it's that special gifting that allows you to go further and above and beyond where the normal Christian may be. We have each been given a different measure of faith. That measure is the word metron. It is the word measure. There are some out there that say that no, that word means standard. That Christ, if you think about measurements, And, you know, you pull up to the gas pump and there's that sticker that says, you know, measurements out of this pump have been are controlled by the state of sometimes insanity, you think? The state of Colorado or whatever. Definitely don't go to California. No, I shouldn't say that. There are those that think that that word means standard. I don't think so. The word truly means measure, that you've been given a quantity of faith, whatever that quantity is. Standard of faith in Christ is the standard of faith in Christ. Christ is the Savior. Christ is the Son of God. Christ is who He is in all of His characteristics. To me, that's the standard. It's like red paint is red paint. And now that was a bad example. We just crossed over. Some decorators are going to go, oh, no, wait a minute. But there are standards of certain things, like weights and lengths and measurements. Christ is Christ. But to each of us has been given a measure, an allotment of faith. 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. Paul is talking here to the church of Corinth. And another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. What is your mindset? Are you sound in your thinking process? There are times we may need to go talk to another brother or a sister and say, am I thinking about this right? Do I see what God is really calling me? And you may be pulled up short and say, wait a minute. Have you thought about XYZ, whatever XYZ is? A man must be careful. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Can you say that you are there? Where is pride in your life? I doubt that any of us have it fully under control. If you do, come talk to me because I want to know how to get there. Some of you are looking at like, no, I'm not going to go there. Blessed are those that are poor in spirit. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling or before a fall. How are you dealing with pride? Bottom line through that whole first verse, do we trust God to work in us and through us? Levels of haughtiness. I've debated about putting this in here, and I will. The NATO conference was here in the U.S., what, 2 weeks ago? President Erdogan, president of Turkey, as the conference closed that evening and he was preparing to fly back to Turkey, he texted on X, on Elon Musk's platform. And this is a quote. It is impossible, he's talking about Israel. Israel's not a part of NATO. But this is kind of the height of pride and improper thinking. It is impossible for the Israeli government, which tramples on the fundamental values of our NATO alliance, to continue its partnership with NATO. Erdogan wants Israel destroyed. His personal preference, the last Caliph, if you know what Caliph is in the Muslim world, there'll be Mormons showing up going, wait a minute. In the Muslim world, the caliphate. There have been many over the centuries. And through the Ottoman Empire, at its greatest, there were many caliphates that took place. And the Muslim world right now is looking for the 12th imam, and they want the caliph, the caliphate, to take place quickly. And Erdogan sees that he is that person. And that's what he is trying to bring out. And that involves the destruction of Israel. It's kind of a sidelight, but I'm just using it as the height of insanity or unsound judgment. And praise God, Netanyahu's foreign minister, Israel Katz, replied, "First of all, Erdogan, you decide nothing. Furthermore, a country like Turkey, which supports the murders and rapists of Hamas and the Iranian axis of evil, should not be a member of NATO." So world politics, something to put on your prayer list. But personally, I mean, there's that level that we're down here. But our prayers, as we pray for family members, as we pray for governments, I hope you are praying for Israel and our nation and all of the things that are going on. But as we go on to verses 4 and 5, "For just as though we have many members in one body and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." As he starts into that verse, chapter 1, verse 4, "For just," what does that word mean? It's a connector. As you're going through Scripture, you'll run into words like therefore, or for, or so that. And those words are critical to the flow of that Scripture passage. And how does it connect back to what was before it? And give you a hint of what is to come. "For just, we have many members. But in that, what do those members have to be a part of the body of Christ? They have to have sound judgment. Many of our churches today don't have sound judgment. As we look across and we see churches that are not following Scripture and elevating women into the pastoral. And it's not to say ladies are very important. They are. God created each of us. But he also said, "I do not allow a woman to be in that role." And we see churches doing that. "I do not allow for homosexuals to be in that role." Churches have gotten more to the point of what is social and trying to push a social agenda into Scripture rather than the reverse. How does Scripture drive what we are doing socially? And we wonder, as a country, why are we in the state that we're in? Because what our forefathers founded, and if you were here on Independence Day when we talked or on that Sunday prior, what our forefathers pushed for and wrote in the Constitution in building this country, and we have fallen away. And it's because of sin and a lack of right thinking in terms of what does Scripture teach. So just as we have many members in one body, and those members don't have the same function, if Christ is our measure, and he has allotted us the faith in Christ, then we should be able to accurately think about what does Scripture teach, as well as what are we to do with the gifts that he has given us. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. As members of the body of Christ, we are a unity in, we are the body of Christ. That is a single entity, if I can use the word organism. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. Here is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Again, unity in all is that Christ is on the throne and God is the Father and Christ is the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is the Trinity. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 17. Is not the cup of blessing that which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. So there is a unity there. But there's also a variety, right? Because some have the gift of prophecy. Some have the gift of teaching. Some have the gift of exhortation. Some have the gift of mercy, etc., etc., etc. So there is one body, but there is a variety of gifts and how we're to minister and administer to the body of Christ. So as we go on to verses 6 through 8, to finish this. Since we have gifts that differ accordingly to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Gifts have been given according to the grace that is within us because of our acceptance of Christ. We have been extended that grace. That grace was there from before the foundation of the world. You've heard us talk about that many times. The cross was planned before God ever laid the foundation of the universe. Revelation. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Or are you pursuing a venue that is different? If God has given you the gift of teaching, why are you pursuing mercy? I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, or not saying that you shouldn't help if there's need in that way, but what is your primary gift? And are you working in that area? If you've been given the gift of preaching, are you pursuing that? Or if you've been given the gift of prayer, are you actively engaged in a ministry of prayer? We have all been called to pray. Everyone in here is called to pray. But there are some that are uniquely gifted to go far more deeply into the world of prayer than the rest of us. And we have a prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and we would love to have you here. And Cheryl and I are going, yes! And if you have the gift of giving, it's the same way. Philippians 4:10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He closes out this section, and he lists 7. There are many, many more. This is not an exhaustive list of gifts. But he's using it to build to the point. Are we of sound mind? And are we exercising? Are we at work where he is at work and where he has called us? So in the end of verse 6, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Prophecy would take a huge amount of faith to walk out anywhere on any platform and say, think about those great prophetic events within Scripture that have happened and how those individuals, you know, put yourself in Isaiah's shoes or Jeremiah and some of the things that they stood and said and the ridicule that came at them. And those that were imprisoned or killed or whatever. And we have brothers and sisters around the world today going through some of those same kinds of things. They may not be prophetic, but just trying to teach the gospel of Christ. Put yourselves in that position. Do you have the faith to exercise that? If God says, go proclaim, would you? That'd be a huge step. Service. We're all called to serve. We're called to serve the body of Christ. We're called to serve in our communities where we're at. And so the share house is one of those. We're trying to get a youth group started, and we're praying for a youth pastor that would join us. So that level of service. Or it may just be taking a meal. And we have a dear lady, she's not here today, Corey. If you have it put on your heart to take a meal to her and Dave this week, they would love it. As she's in desperate need with all of her health issues after that accident. Teaching, the gift of teaching. Teaching is the giving of knowledge. Expounding on what that knowledge is. Teaching, what does this word say and how does it apply to you? Exhortation is something completely different. A lot of people try to put those two words together and say they're one and the same. No, they are not. Teaching is the giving of knowledge. Exhortation is exhorting someone to get out there and get after it, if you know what I mean. What's it take? Are you putting out all of your effort like an athlete? Are you doing everything that you can in terms of the weight room, out in practice, whatever it is, calisthenics, listening to your coaches? Are you putting that into application and applying it? Exhortation is the person who can truly make that happen. Giving. What is given? Typically, when we look at the word giving in, you know, throughout Scripture, it's financial. We're all called to give. We are all supposed to tithe. That's scriptural. But there are some that God has gifted, and I may get the initials wrong here. R.J. Letourneau, or is it R.G. Letourneau? Anybody know? Mr. Letourneau, we'll go there. Way back when Caterpillar was first starting, Letourneau worked at Caterpillar, and he and the head of Caterpillar had a major disagreement. Letourneau thought the world should run on rubber, and Caterpillar thought the world should run on tracks, and the two went their separate ways. And God had gifted Mr. Letourneau with tremendous sums of money, and God kept knocking on his heart and saying, you need to be contributing. And he's like, I'm tithing. I'm giving my 10%. And God's like, no. For you, it's 90. And he's like, I'm not giving 90% to the church. I'm going to give, okay, I'll go 50. And so he starts this deal making, and God bankrupts him. And time goes by, and he restarts Letourneau as a company. And they're in the heavy equipment business, just like they're competing with Caterpillar. Longview, Texas, east of Dallas. And he, I'll tithe 60. And God's saying 90. And so he bankrupts him again. The third bankruptcy, Mr. Letourneau finally gets it. If I'm going to be able to run my company and do what I need to, okay, God, I get it, 90%. God had enabled him to do that. All of us don't have that capacity. But there are those that are called. And if God is calling you in any capacity, and maybe it's not financial, maybe it's your time, or it's some other element that you have, some specialty that you can contribute. If God is calling you, trust him with it, because he will enable you beyond what you think you can do. He's going to knock your socks off and make it happen. Mercy. We're all called to have mercy. And you see those that, accidents happen. People need, you feel the need to help. But there are some of those in certain hospitals or in the health field that just, or even counseling or some, they can go above and beyond what any normal person could do in the gift of mercy to someone in that need. And this is just a short list. But Dr. Barnhouse, R. Kent Hughes quotes Barnhouse in this book. And Dr. Barnhouse, as he's talking about spiritual gifts, he says, "Have I listened to his voice? Have I laid my own reason in the dust before him in order to take it again, enlightened by him, for use in my work? Have I been spiritually alert and dependent upon the Holy Spirit? Have I gone again and again to the Word of God to refresh my own soul before speaking to others? Have I tried to live what I preach? Have I acknowledged my sins when the Lord showed them to me and repented of them? Have I recognized moment by moment my utter dependence on the Lord? Have I been lazy? Have I been diligent? Have I insulted the Lord by feeding his sheep with ill-prepared food?" And I pray that last one, that I never do. Or any of those others. But where do you fall? And so as we close, God has given us gifts. Have you really thought down, sat down and evaluated, what is that gift? And where could I employ it? How should I use it? What do I do with it? Father, guide me. Let's pray. I'll have the worship team come up. Father, we just thank you for this passage. It seems so innocuous as we just start reading through it. But where is our mind? And in today's world of so many electronic devices and information and just this data stream that's there, how do we step aside and trust that you will lead us, that you will guide us? Direct us as only you can. Forgive us of our sin, of where we have failed you. Forgive me of where I have failed this congregation. Father, we look to you for your counsel, your leadership, your wisdom, your grace, your mercy, as only you can give. The gift of Jesus Christ and eternal salvation as a result of that. And just find us faithful in our calling. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and we'll close with our last song.